Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Chad Marquette. We're your hosts for this weekend edition, also your hosts throughout the week on our website, KEReport.com, and podcast The KE Report. Now, this week, kind of another down week, I guess, broadly for the markets after a very good January, a continuation from that Q4 rebound. Well, February is kind of turning all that on its head, and many things are moving down. Now, again, there's still a bit of room from some of the lows that we saw in Q3 or early Q4 from last year, but it also looks like there's still some pretty defined downtrends in these markets. We'll touch on the markets, metals, as we always do on the weekend show. We're kicking off the weekend show with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor over at the Lyons Share Pro website, which we will link to in that weekend show posting. Dana, broadly, U.S. equity markets, as I said, started to roll over this month after a pretty strong about 4-month run there. Your take on, well, these markets, are we going straight down to test those lows?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Our take, obviously backed by quantitative and objective evidence like we always talk about, based on our models, we don't see the case for that yet. I think that eventually happens, but our models, our quantitative looks are still keeping us on the long side, net long. Now, as you mentioned, January was obviously historically positive for risk markets, especially the equity markets. But as we talked back around the end of January, we don't subscribe as much to the January barometer as some others in our experience. I think history, objective look at history, backs us up that it's been just as common to see kind of the rug get pulled out from under a big January move like we're seeing now than it is to see that move continue. So are we surprised to see this kind of snapback, pullback in risk assets after such a good January? Not at all, like we talked about. And in fact, we booked a bunch of profits towards the end of that rally, end of January into early February, and put on some small hedges in case we get this kind of a pullback that we're seeing now. So that has helped cushion the blow, but our models are still positive, so we haven't avoided all losses entirely for sure this month, but did cushion our blow by pulling our horns in a little bit. But like you mentioned, still the model's still positive, so we're going to give the upside another chance for now until all of our quantitative things turned down, which they're not now. So still leaning long and buying some into this pullback this week.
Well, Dana, you had mentioned to us that some of the factors in your quantitative model that were leading you to still be on the long side were, you know, the better breadth indicators. And that was something that you used back in 2021 as a signal that when breadth was really falling apart, that we were near a period of corrective action, and that was spot on. And in this case, they're still long. We've heard other people mention there's some good breadth thrust in the general markets. Maybe just explain to people how you factor that in, because that's really just the health of the overall markets and how many stocks are going up versus going down, that kind of thing. Do you expect to see a sea change there if things were to have another leg lower, or would you expect to see something else in addition to that if we were to actually confirm this move higher has some legs to it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. If this pullback is legit and leading to the next leg down, we would expect to see confirmation of that among a unanimous confirmation among all the indicators that we watch, and we're not quite seeing that yet. So, as you mentioned regarding the breadth indicators, so that's kind of the tenet of our investment philosophy is that we want to be aligned with the quote-unquote market, what the broad market of stocks is doing. So the research has shown that about 70 to 80% of the direction of a particular stock is due to the direction of the overall market itself. So what we want to try to do is figure out the direction of that overall market. So we're looking at the broad market of stocks, you know, stocks as a whole, not individual stocks or a heavily cap-weighted average. We want to figure out what the entire market of stocks is generally doing and then align our investment posture with that. If most stocks are going up, which they have been for, you know, since October, November, for the most part, we want to be more aggressively long. And when our components, our models suggest that the majority of stocks are on the downside or headed lower, then we want to pull our horns in, go to cash, or put on hedges, or sometimes go outright net short in the market. So as you mentioned, that is really a hallmark of our investment philosophy, is align, position ourselves in the direction of the overall market. And like I said, right now we don't have unanimous confirmation in our models that we are potentially headed back down to test or even put a new down leg in below the prior lows. So we're going to give the upside another chance here until we have confirmation from our models and our indicators that we're likely headed down. And that will likely happen. As we've talked about before, we are not necessarily that bullish in the longer term. In fact, we think we're in a overall bear market, in particular in the growth segment of the market. I think the bubble that burst about a year ago in the growth segment is kind of what will direct this market over the next several years. So generally, we are bearish and we're not hesitate to sell or short this market when we think it's headed back down. But at the moment, just not at that point yet.
Okay, Dana, I did want you to focus a little bit more on that long-term outlook. So you do think we're still broadly in a bear market. Do any of your models give you insights on what kind of a bear market it's going to be? Because you can make the argument this has already gone on for now about a year and 2 months, and it's been very orderly. It's been kind of a stair-stepping pattern down rather than a capitulation, massive, quick, almost fishing line move lower. Do any of your models tell you how the rest of this bear market is going to be made up?
That's kind of hard to, that kind of crystal ball is hard to read as it pertains to the longer term. So for that reason, we've geared our models, our investment models, our decision makers that actually direct what we're actually buying, selling, shorting, to the, what we call the intermediate term. So the next 2 to 6 months roughly, because that's pretty much the max in terms of what we think we can, kind of, I don't want to say predict, but what evidence would suggest that we can rely on. So as far as the longer term, it remains to be seen, but we do have, you know, the longer term, what we call background indicators, and we've talked about these on the show plenty of times. When it comes to those longer term market and economic metrics, which don't necessarily feed into our models, but have been generally important in figuring out long-term cycles, those measures are still wildly excessive, okay? We saw things like, for example, equity valuations, you know, PE ratios, household investments in stocks, things like that. All of these things went to all-time highs about a year ago coming into 2022. And yes, we had some corrective action. Obviously, last year was a tough market, but we only saw those measures pull back to, in some cases, what was the prior all-time record high. So definitely still in excessive territory,
Very interesting, Dana. Thanks for sharing some of that data as well. We are out of time for this segment. We're having you back on next segment, Dana, so everyone stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Your
your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. We are continuing to chat with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. And as I mentioned in the first segment, Dana is also the editor of the Lion Share Pro website. I'll throw this out there that Dana is having his anniversary sale for that website, offering one-third off of the subscription price. I'll post a link to that website in the weekend show posting, but if you want more information and you can't get on that link, feel free to just email us and we will put you in touch with Dana. Now, Dana, one more quick point on these markets. A trend that we were talking about pretty much all last year was this rotation into value out of growth. Final comments on these markets. Do you still see this rotation continuing? Is this a trend that's going to be around for a little while?
Yeah, we think the value to growth kind of transition that we saw over the last year, we think it's actually started probably 2 years ago and has gathered steam last year. We think that's just kind of in the early innings, or at least, you know, the first third of the move, probably similar to the kind of transition we saw back around the 2000 bubble top, where growth popped and went down on an absolute basis, obviously, for several years, but on a relative basis, basically till 2007-ish. So I would not be surprised to see that type of a move, or that long of a move, in the favor of value and away from growth. And we've seen, you know, value kind of didn't do much over the last couple of years leading up to that bubble top in growth. And we saw value hang up reasonably well last year. And in fact, we've talked about it, you know, over the last few months, how well some of the value indices had been doing. And we like to look at the what are called the pure value indices, which strip out any of the growth type influence in them. And there are a couple ETFs on the small, mid, and large cap sectors, and each one of them hit all-time highs at the end of the end of January. Those are the type of sectors, like you mentioned, that we will be focused on the long side during pullbacks in this, even if we're in a longer-term bear market, and into big rallies, big bear market rallies. That's when I think investors want to be selling growth or even hedging with growth on the short side.
Dana, let's also talk about the energy sector, too, because energy was on, it seemed like, everybody's mind in the first half of last year. Then it rolled over almost perfectly in the second half of the year. And we are getting just a mix of outlooks for, let's say, something like the oil price. Some people say a recession's coming, oil's going to drop. Other people say China's reopening, oil has a rosy future ahead of it. Look at how good the companies have done. What is your take on energy, more specifically the oil sector?
Sure. So energy and oil obviously have had, they had a couple, you know, a rough decade and a half or so in commodities in general. So the move, the rally that we saw into early last year, we think was the start of a new longer-term bull market, I should say. So just like we're leaning bearish in the longer term in stocks, we'd be leaning bullish in the longer term in commodities. With that being said, it's nothing's a straight line. It's the same thing in commodities and crude oil. We're not going to go straight up for, you know, the next decade or so. There'd be ups and downs along the way. But generally, we are bullish on the longer term in crude and commodities in general. Right now we're looking for another leg lower, to be honest, in the intermediate term. But I think at some point over the next probably year or so, we'll probably establish a very important low again and then begin that next up leg in those commodities and crude oil. And same thing with precious metals. In fact, I think precious metals may be ahead of those other commodity markets, energy markets, as far as the cycle is concerned. I think maybe they've already bottomed and we're headed higher. So we would be doing some buying in the precious metals complex into this dip for sure.
Well, Dana, just expanding on that a little bit, because a lot of our audience does not just trade the metals, but also some of the precious metals mining stocks, so the gold stocks, the silver stocks. They've had a pretty big pullback over the last month or so, but is there more pain to come, or is this looking like a spot where more of a short-term trader may get positioned?
Yeah, there might be further downside in the short term for sure. But we've been building a long position in gold and silver and the miners for a while now, at least since the fourth quarter of last year. And we're still buying the dip. We bought a little bit, like I mentioned before with you earlier, a couple weeks ago, obviously, a bit too soon. We didn't hold those initial support levels. But I think we're headed to the formation of a higher low across the precious metals complex. So, yeah, we would definitely be adding to our position in the miners in as well as gold and silver into this pullback here.
Dana, for the miners, do you see them making a run up to those highs in even early last year, back in 2020, where GDX reached over 40?
Yeah, eventually, for sure. Here's the thing. They are equities, ultimately. So if we're in a bear market, a longer-term bear market in the equity market, that's going to certainly be one strike against them. Like I mentioned, with the 78 to 80% of the direction of a stock is due to the direction of the overall equity market. So that's going to be maybe a bit of a headwind as we go forward. Whereas maybe gold and silver, especially gold, has a chance to break out into new all-time high ground and actually hit higher highs and establish a sustainable run higher above the previous highs. So, but generally speaking, I would expect both to trend in the same direction. So if gold does break out and runs to new all-time highs, I would expect, you know, the miners to make a run at those 2022 or at least, or even 2020 highs at a minimum.
Well, Dana, I know that you also follow some of the other metals like copper, and you had mentioned to us before we started recording today that you were surprised by how resilient it's been. If you look at something like COPEX, C-O-P-X, the ETF that tracks the copper miners, it kind of double bottomed last year, had a big run in the fourth quarter, continued that into January, and it's pulled back, but it doesn't seem like it's pulled back as much as the precious metals. What's your outlook on copper or the copper mining stocks?
Yeah, we've got positions there as well. The miners, like you said, copper miners have been pretty resilient. Copper has been more resilient of late than gold and silver. So we do have a position there as well. Obviously, there are going to be some different influences on copper. Just from a pure technical standpoint, we like the action in the copper miners, COPX, as you mentioned, as well as the price of copper. So generally, we put those in the same camp as the gold and silver and the rest of the precious metals complex. Pretty bullish on that. We'd be definitely building more of a position there as well.
Okay. Dana, as always, thank you very much for updating us on what your models are telling you and how you're trading some of these markets. February's been a bit tougher for investors, but it was a pretty nice run. Dana, thank you very much for your time, man. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, guys.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. Police in New York making a public appeal for information about a big robbery.
NYPD wants to find two men who got away with $500,000 in jewelry after robbing a store in Queens and violently assaulting a 79-year-old employee there. Authorities released photos and video of the suspects and their getaway car, a black Mercedes with an obscured license plate. The men, one in a blue jacket, one all in black, pistol whip, punched and kicked the elderly woman and smashed the display cases, too. In New York, I'm Karen Sloan.
A CareFlight medical aircraft crashed in Stagecoach, Nevada yesterday, killing all five people on board. That plane, later identified as a PC-12 fixed-wing aircraft, was carrying five passengers. Corey Myers, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Dana Lyons, where we bounced around to many different sectors. Got Dana's more short to medium term outlook for those sectors in this segment. We're now taking a step back to recap some of the data points that came in on Friday and look ahead to where U.S. economic data might be moving as we are chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also editor of the Mark to Market website. Now, Mark, on Friday, we saw U.S. inflation data, the PCE, come in stronger than expected. Consumer spending was also strong. So this is, again, shifting investors' expectations to more rate hikes or at least longer period of rate hikes, maybe even extending into the summer of this year for the Fed. Now, February has been a big turnaround month after four strong months for markets and really everything. They all kind of gave up at least a month, if not 2 months worth of gains so far in February. Mark, when you take a look at that PCE data and the consumer spending number, what are you left believing, taking away in terms of the U.S. economy and where it stands?
Yes, I think you're right, Corey, that we have seen a very strong bounce in January's economic data. It really began off with the jobs number on February 3rd, over 500,000 jobs. We had that retail sales number shortly after that, 3%. And so today's personal spending numbers pick up on that, pick up the strength, the bounce back of the consumer. The thing I would point out, a couple factors, and it's not to nitpick at the data. The data is undoubtedly strong. But the challenge, I think, is that to try to put into a bit of a context. And so there's a couple things. For example, November and December, U.S. personal consumption expenditures contracted. And remember, we had that GDP revision for Q4 earlier in the week, and it also shaved consumption. And so and this is the first time that November and December, that contraction in consumption, back-to-back months, first time we've had 2 months in a row where the consumer pulled back since the early days of COVID. But in general, yes, I fully agree that after a very weak finish to last year, the economy bounced back. And I think this is given, you know, it's sort of like this, where we talk about the dead cat bounce. You know, you take a cat to the top of the top of a tower, drop it on the street, and it's going to bounce. Doesn't mean the cat's alive. And I think that people, and maybe some policymakers, exaggerating the sustainability of some of these economic numbers. And so that's what I would point out, really, is that in this week ahead, we should begin getting economic data that confirms that January was partly a statistical fluke, partly even with this PCE deflator, some benchmark revisions, like we saw with the jobs number and the CPI, some methodological changes. And we've had an unusual seasonal sort of a mild winter, which is also benefits economic activity. But I think that starting next week, we're going to begin getting economic data in the U.S. that shows it was a bit of a fluke. And so the two big numbers for me next week, the ISM services, and the reason I point out ISM services, because if you remember on February 3rd, we had a strong jobs data. We also, shortly afterwards, got, by short, I mean like 90 minutes later, we got the service ISM. And when I look at a chart, that seems to be when the markets had the most dramatic reaction, not just on the jobs data, because nobody really believes that 500,000 jobs created in 1 month is really sustainable in the U.S. But we had that ISM, which was much stronger than expected as well. And I think that's when people really reversed themselves. And so this time we should be looking for a decline in ISM services and a big pullback in auto sales. This will set the stage for the following week, March 10th, when the U.S. reports the employment data. And after reporting over 500,000 jobs in the month of January, here in February, it looks like it's going to slow down to about 200,000 jobs. And the 200,000 jobs still sounds okay compared to where we were, say, in 2018 and 2019. But it would be the slowest, if that's true, the 200,000 estimate. If that's accurate, that would be the weakest jobs growth since the end of 2020. So I think we're in the tail end. I'd say that the bulk of the move is behind us. You think about what's happened to like the U.S. two-year yield. It's gone from about almost 4% before that jobs report earlier this month to today we're getting to almost 4.85. And I think you're right, Corey. The market has pushed back the and really converged with the Fed's view and maybe gotten ahead of the Fed in that the Federal Reserve instead told us in December they thought 5.25 was really where the median was coming in at. And now the market is thinking 5.5, maybe 5.75 peak Fed funds. And you're right as well that they push it out, not just a Q2 thing, but probably into Q3.
How does this all carry over to the market then? Because if we have some weak economic data coming up, that does shift expectations to less rate hikes. But if we then actually have a truly weak economy, a consistently weak economy, and if investors or consumers are truly running out of money, it's not like we just had a good earnings season. So then you would assume that the companies continue to do worse. Could we finally be in an environment where bad news in terms of U.S. economic data actually pushes markets down rather than the opposite, the bump coming for the markets?
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think that at least initially, just because you see the peak in interest rates doesn't really necessarily mean you want to go out and buy stocks. On the other hand, the stock market is terribly efficient, anticipatory mechanism. stock market peaks before the end of a recession. As the market begins anticipating not the earnings from past quarter, but from the future earnings. And so I think there is this time, and I think this is what makes it challenging to try to trade around inflection points in the economy. But generally speaking, I think interest rates, the rising interest rates, what I'm watching for then is a breakdown of that correlation between rising interest rates and falling stock market. When I see that correlation beginning to break down, that's when I know that we're going to be in a new paradigm.
Well, Mark, along with rising rates, we've seen a rising greenback. The U.S. dollar at the time of this recording is up around 105.15, and that's a far cry from where it was just a couple months back, where it was down at 100.82. So it's had a big move. Some of that is because of Fed policy and because of this economic data, and some of it's also the counterbalance between what's happening in the dollar versus other currencies. What do you make of the dollar continuing to creep higher here and pressuring other markets?
Yeah, no, I think we had an important move here this week. I had been initially looking, if we had that jobs data, I thought we'd look 103.80, 104. And then as we got above there, we've been up to 105.30 today. That's the next chart point. But above there, I think there might be potential to 106 to 106.50. You've got some retracements, sort of the 38.2% retracement of the dollar's sell-off since the end of last September. And you also had the 200-day moving average coming in there. But I mean, to your point, we've gone up 500 points on the dollar index, and I'm suggesting that, yeah, it's sort of like going to a party late, and there's still some punch in the bowl, but it's almost midnight.
All right, Mark, we're going to wrap it up here. Very interesting comments, and again, a very interesting month where we did see everything turn around pretty much on February 2nd. And there are a number of markets that have gone almost straight down this whole month. It's been on the back of stronger U.S. data and rate hike expectations. And remember, we had the Fed early on this year, or early on this month. Still have to wait a little bit for their next meeting. But overall, I think this month really reminded people that we're not out of the clear in any aspect for the markets especially. Mark, thank you, as always, for your time. Great chatting with you on this weekend show. We'll chat with you again next week. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks. Good luck, everybody.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
All right, welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are now shifting our focus a little bit more into the energy sector, as we have been doing more and more on weekend shows and throughout the week, giving a little bit more attention to the energy sector. We are chatting with Joseph Schachter, founder and editor of the Schachter Energy Report, also writes a free report called Eye on Energy, where Joseph breaks down more the fundamentals, the data points around the oil sector, oil and natural gas sector. Now, Joseph, usually we dive into some of the short-term data points, but when we were talking to you off mic before recording, you were outlining essentially a very bullish situation that you see the energy stocks getting into now that we have had a correction in oil and a very big correction in natural gas. Joseph, from a high-level perspective, initially, why now, or at least in the very near term, are you thinking that this is going to be a great buying opportunity for investors to get back into these energy stocks?
Yeah, well, the bullish side of it was, for both the general market and energy, was the reopening trade for China. And then the market got pretty excited. The price of oil went up to 80 from 70. The stock market had a nice bounce. But a lot of the data now coming out of China is showing that there isn't much of a recovery. It's sluggish. There's got lots of problems. And then you've got this issue now in the States where inflation is out of control. You know, the number is 0.7 for the PPI number. And all of a sudden the, 2-year yield starts going up. And it's almost near the high of the year. And people are saying, well, maybe the Fed's going to raise interest rates in early March by 50 beeps, not by 25, and then they're not going to stop. They might do 25 beeps once or twice more. So all of a sudden, you've got to price in that the earnings are not going to be as good, and that what you pay for those earnings is not going to be as high. You saw what happened to Home Depot yesterday. I think it was Dillard's was down 16%, and I think it was 7% down on Home Depot because of guidance on earnings, that they weren't going to be as good. So I think we're into the part where the view is that we're going to see tighter, hawkish Fed We're going to see slowing economy. We're going to see cost pressure, operating margins tighten, and profitability will come down. And the market is a discounting mechanism. It discounts things fairly quickly. So, you know, we've had the years where the bull market, bear market can swing in a month. We've had other times in 08, 09 that it takes 9 months. So, we've seen the market peak January of last year, and then it had a nice rally into the end of the year. Now we're starting the weakness again. My guess is we could have one more difficult shellacking phase here during end of February, March. We saw the Dow yesterday down 696 points, 2%. I think the NASDAQ was down 2.5%. The S&P was down around 2%. And I think we're going to see one more decline. I think the price of oil, which was 80 last week, is going to go down below 70. It's 74.40 today, down $1.50 or so. And I think that's going to set up a great buying opportunity. So we're thinking now that many stocks are down 50, 60% from their highs, more down on the natural gas stocks than the oily names. If I'm right that oil breaks 70, the oily names will have a more of a shellacking right at the end. And what we're saying to people is we've been cautious, bearish for a year. We're now getting ready to be absolutely table-pounding bulls. And we're saying to people, go through the Q4 results that are coming out. There's conference calls. There's presentations on the websites. That's what we do our research for. And that's why, some people are subscribing to our product. And then be ready with the names that fit your portfolio, depending upon if it's a dividend-yielding conservative portfolio or a dividend and growth portfolio or just a growth portfolio. There are tremendous bargains here, similar to kind of valuation bargains that we got in March of 2020. And if you recall in our conversations in March of 2020, March 13th on the exact, is when we came out with a table-pounding buy. And then for the last year and a half, we've been cautious and saying sell on strength, sell on strength. And we hope people have a nice war chest because stocks are down so much. There are unbelievable bargains out there, and we're getting ready to tell people to be ready to buy them.
Well, Joseph, is there a preference that you have right now? I mean, I know that you look at a diversified basket, but are you more interested in being in a more safe name that has a high dividend yield and, good revenues coming in pretty consistently? Or are you more interested in trying to pick off some of the smaller growth stocks that maybe could perform better on a rebound?
Well, it really matters what your risk profile is. And, in my case, I want to own larger cap companies with good dividends, and that would be, let's say, 60% of my energy portfolio. And then I want 20% in growth and then 20% in entrepreneurial. So if you look at the growth side, I'll pick a name like Birchcliff. Birchcliff today is trading at, let me just get the price, $7.94. The company has almost no debt. It'll be debt-free in the first quarter of 2023. The company has said that they will pay a 20 cents per quarter dividend, and that that gives you over a 10% yield. And the stock high was 12.48. So, you're looking at a 50% plus upside just to get back to the high of 2022. And I have a $25 bull market peak target. So if I'm getting paid, 10% plus while I'm waiting on a conservative stock, and if I have, the view that the LNG business will be 3 or 4 plants on the West Coast by the end of the decade, LNG price and natural gas price will be $6-7 on a consistent basis when you have 2-3 plants bidding for gas. And at some point, the owners of those plants are going to have to own the reserves. And companies like Birchcliff are sitting right in the Montney fairway that will be available, that people will want to buy. So to me, those are the kinds of names that we like. We like Crew, we like Pipestone, we like a lot of those names that are natural gas focused. And then, Pinecliff, others that we think are cheap. And, Tourmaline is backing off. If that gets cheap enough, that would be a buy again. And on the oily names, I think they're going to be more vulnerable if we break 70 because in many cases they're high fixed costs, low variable costs, especially those in heavy oil and SAGD. And so we're going to see those stocks get hit more And I think they're going to be, there'll be some great bargains there too. So I think that people should just be, you know, doing the research on the companies, and that's what we do for them if they want somebody to do it independently. And then be ready with your cash whenever the buy signals kick in. And I think that a bust of 70 is one of them, and we're 74.56 as I look on the TV right now. And, you know, I think that's down from 80 just 2 weeks ago. And I think we bust 70, and I think that's when you're going to see a cathartic shakeout and bargains galore, and you just pick your points of where you want to be a buyer.
So, Joseph, what about those investors that want exposure to the oil and nat gas sector by going into, say, one or two or a group of companies that have kind of balanced exposure? Do you have any stocks that you can share with us in terms of ones that are a bit more split between natural gas and oil revenues?
Yeah, there's a lot of companies that, that have exposure to both. And I'll just give you a couple of examples, because some of the natural gas guys have liquids-rich plays, and they have the mix of those. So, for example, Paramount Resources, 46% liquids, 54% natural gas. You go to Tourmaline, 23 and 77. Vermilion, 54, 46. Whitecap, 70% liquids, 30% natural gas. But then they bought XTO. Those are third quarter numbers. So when they report their fourth quarter, their number of on the natural gas side should pick up. You've got NuVista, 41.59, 41% liquids, 59% natural gas. Obsidian, 64 oil, 36 natural gas. Pipestone, 40.60. So, you know, there's a lot of lists there. Bonterra, 60% oil, 40% natural gas. In-play oil, 54.46. Journey, 47.53. So you could get companies that are balanced between the two commodities that are, you know, trading at half of what they were at the top of the cycle a year ago.
All right. Joseph, we'll end it right there. Hey, more bullish outlook here for these stocks. Again, though, might just have to wait for a little bit more of a breakdown, especially in the oil price. Everybody, thanks for tuning in on this weekend show. We hope you enjoyed this weekend show. We'll be back with you full time next week. And as always, keep in touch with Shad and I through email. That will be posted on the weekend show posting on our website and podcast. Joseph, everybody, thanks for taking time with us on this weekend. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.